Kia ora and welcome back to Jules from NZ, the RPG A Day 2023 Takeover Episodes. Let's go! Kia ora, morena, tēnā koutou katoa. Hello and welcome back to all of you to Jules from NZ. Kia te pēhe koutou, how are you all? I've been pretty sick actually. really sick. For the last few days. It's weird being sick with it not being like super coughing. You know, I just feel like our life has been ruled recently by being sick means that you cough yourself to bed. But this one, I've been sneezing a lot and my head's been really sore. And there's just so much snot. I don't know where it's coming from anymore. But yeah. I feel like I might be on the path back to being a real person again, which is nice. So I'm trying to get back on track. I'm not going to let whatever this illness thing is get me off track with RPG A Day. It nearly did, but it hasn't yet. So here we go. RPG A Day 2023, week 3. Let's do this. Okay, so... not day one. Come on, Jules Brain. Day 15. This is going to be a wild one, guys. My brain is barely functioning, but let's go. Okay, day 15. Favorite calm module / one shot. When I was thinking about this, because I read this list, right, before I tried to do this, trying to get my thoughts in order, I realized I haven't really played that many con one-shots, and not because I haven't been to many, but because the ones that I've been to, I've usually been running the one-shots, so I don't really get to play in many at all, so, and the few that I've get to play in are very far in between, and they're all homebrew, right, so I wouldn't even know what they were called or, like, who ran them exactly or any of that kind of stuff. I think I've got two standouts, though, for myself. There was this convention that I went to ages ago called CapCon, and they do just a raft of different types of games, and basically it's up to the GM to offer what they want to offer, and then people will buy tickets to CapCon and then come along and like sign up for stuff on the day. It's pretty cool, actually. They run it at a school and you get your own like classroom if you run all day. So I, you know, picked as many games as I could possibly run. And I think I had one slot off, so I still got to keep the classroom all day, which was pretty cool. And the slot off, I tried LARPing for the first time. It was like a little mini version of a LARP. Like, it was Call of Cthulhu based. And we had our little wee character synopsis and what our motivations are and stuff. And then you go around the room and you'd ask questions, and then someone would like give you another card, which would either give you a new piece of information or change the way that your character behaved in response to certain like stimulus or certain information being revealed. And that was pretty cool, actually. I really enjoyed that. It's a very fun concept, very fun to be able to play out. Little Miss Social Me just kind of popped in on there and started talking to people and really opened up some information in the end. You know, people like more experience with LARPs took it from there, and they were like, oh, okay, that means this and that means that, and kind of like, you know, helped us get towards the end where Cthulhu came and, you know, killed us all. But it was great. Like, we welcomed it with open arms because that was the sort of group that, well, that sort of decisions that we made to go down. It was very fun. And the other one would probably be a game run by my friend Penny, where essentially you get, at the start of the adventure, you get these two letters from these two beholders, and the letters are remarkably similar, only it's about the other one, basically saying, I am the best, I should be the only, you should kill this person because they're kind of the worst, and yeah, And then depending on who you go, you choose to go visit, they're like, wait, I sent you to go kill the other one. What are you doing here? And it's kind of quite fun. Then you get to fight a beholder. Because one's like a dream spawn of the other one, because that's how beholders are like born or whatever. So they kind of hate each other, but they were kind of born of each other. And you've like, who's the real one? Who's the dream spawny one? Who freaking knows? Doesn't matter. Which one do you kill? It's quite fun. I like the games at the cons where I get to play with the players that come to the cons. So, you know, like people who have been in my game and then I get to sit down at a table with them. It's kind of cool, like breaking that, I don't know, that illusion that you're only the DM or, yeah, it's really fun to engage in that level and show them like a new way of playing, because you know quite often when I sit down and I play like a 5e game with people that have played at my table, I'm really pushing the boundaries of what I can do and I'm being a little chaos gremlin to show them what the game can be as well as have fun for myself, you know. And usually the DM that I'm running with knows enough to be like, no, Julia, bad Julia, get back in your box. And I'm like, okay. And we, you know, banter that off as me, you know, like if I push too far or go too far. I never want to do that to the DM at the table, right? So I'm always like, you just tell me if I can't do this. Can I do this? And they're like, no, you can't do that, you crazy person. But you can do like this, which is like a form of that. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it. It's very fun. Okay, anyway, moving on. Otherwise I'm gonna be here all day. So day 16, game you wish you owned. At the moment, it's Tales from the Loop. I keep eyeing it up in the game store. I just don't have lots of money right now, and I can't decide which way I want to buy it. So there's like a Tales from the Loop starter kit, then there's the Tales from the Loop book, and then there's like this extended book with like more adventures in it and stuff. And I honestly cannot figure out which one I'm supposed to buy or like which way around I'm supposed to buy this thing. So if anybody's got any advice on how to buy Tales from the Loop, I would really appreciate that in terms of like what's the best bang for buck, like what's got the actual rules and bits and pieces in it, and like how do you run adventures? Is it in the books as well? Or like I was trying to flick through, but I couldn't like just flick through and figure it out. I was going to have to sit there and read it and figure it out, and that doesn't feel right in the game store, you know, so I stopped. But yeah, if anybody's got any advice on that, I'd really appreciate that. Day 17, funniest game you've played. I don't know. I feel like I answered this when Joey and I were talking about it the other day, but I can't think about it right now. I'll have to come back to it. Hang on, I'm coming back to it. Day 18, favorite game system. I mean, it's 5e. It's a no-brainer. I love it for its flexibility, the ability to battle roleplay, the ability for the game to be able to be used by the DM to improv how they would deal with any situation, and that the Dungeon Master's Guide, if you go diving for how to deal with any situation, has heaps of advice in it. So I'm going to be sad when we move to 1 and I have to relearn it all over again, but I know what they're doing is for good reasons and, you know, and also commercial reasons so they can sell more shit. You know what? I respect that. You know, you've got a product. You've got to get as much money out of it as you can. You know, it's not all fan service. This is a balance between fan service and making money. There should be. But, you know, whatever. But I enjoyed 5e for what it was. And I'm sure I'll enjoy the next system for whatever it was. And I'm sure if I had started earlier, then I'd probably be one of those grognards being like, AD&D was the best. You know, but like, whatever. We learn new game systems and we learn to love new things. It's more about the frustration of having to change, right? Like, we just don't want to relearn a game system. I can get on board with that message. So much work and so much buying new things and so much all of that. But like at the end of the day, I'll do it. because it'll be fun once I do it and once I get there. It's the same thing with 5e, right? I didn't know anything and it was painful and hard to learn and frustrating. But now that I'm here, I love it. So, you know, 5e. Favorite published adventure. I'm in two minds about this one because I was going to say Icewind Dale because it's actually a really solid 5e adventure module, like self-contained, not too much work for the DM, great story, love my horror, so my players are being absolutely tormented by it, and it's very cool. I'm really enjoying just really screwing with their brains. It's very fun. But also, I've been really enjoying Wrath of the Righteous, like really enjoying Wrath of the Righteous. So I don't know, like it might be Wrath too. I mean, I haven't read it from the DM side, so I cannot tell you if like the system is like the modules are like written well for a DM or anything like that, or like how you're supposed to run is how you're supposed to run. I mean, Joey was talking about some weirdness between the hexes and stuff and how long hexes were supposed to take and how many monster rolls you're supposed to do, but like I've never really heard him like talk smack about the module other than that. So I'm going to assume it's written really well, but I mean, who knows? Only Joey would be able to tell us that. But I mean, the module story is really good. It's really engaging. I'm very motivated without really too much external motivation at all. Like I want to follow the storyline through. And I feel like that's the same for Icewind Dale. You're pitted really quickly against a big bad and shown who it is very quickly and shown, you know, what to fight. Like there's loads of mysteries in the background and stuff as well. Like they have so many story threads they don't even know that they have right now. And I find that's really cool. But you also like have a clear thing to fight in front of you as well. And, you know, I admire that kind of storytelling. I'm like trying to do that with Fate of Aizen, but I was having conversations with people about Fate of Aizen and they have no idea what the big bad thing in the background is. And I was like, huh, okay. I haven't done my job as a DM and a storyteller, like as a narrator in that sort of scenario then, to tell them what like the big threats are to the world right now. So like there's big overwhelming, overarching things going on in the world right now, as well as the immediate what my players are going through, and the immediate stuff that they were going through isn't that bad. Like, yeah, the ground's kind of, you know, like the earth is a bit fucked and stuff. Like it's not growing things as well. But like, what does that look like on a grander scheme? You know, like what is happening to the world right now? And why is it happening? And you know, what is going on? What is the world missing? I don't know. Like, I know what's going on, but I also can't reveal a lot of that right now because a lot of that is like in, well, not a lot of it is in game, but a lot of dealing with it will come quite late on in the story because you can't really deal with it right now. That like, A, they're not powerful enough, B, they don't have any information, and C, they haven't met the people that they need to meet, deal with it. And I realize that's all within my power to change, but if I change it now, then they jump straight to end game. So the idea was to reveal these things slowly over the next, like, few chapters, and that's why I've got it set up as, like, earth, you know, wind, fire, air, water, or whatever, not air and wind. It's like earth, air, fire, water, and then one remaining thing that is yet to be seen. And everybody goes hot, but I'm like, no, but it's not obvious right now, right? Like, you know, I'm calling the chapter earth. Nobody knows why. It's because the earth is broken. But I'm obviously not doing a very good job as a storyteller of pitching how bad that is. So I've been thinking about that and how my next session might start. I'm thinking that my next session might start. Oh my God, I'm so off track. Okay, but I am thinking, I'm going to finish this thought though. This isn't even RPG day. Okay, anyway, my next session might start with them like traveling on down the road and they come over a hill and they see what used to be quite a lush and green, like beautiful, you know, valley, stretching out in front of them. Not like a deep deep valley, but like, you know, a little valley flat with just a whole lot of I'm not editing this, guerrilla podcasting. A whole lot of like growth and farms and villages and stuff like that. And it's all sort of dried up and you know, grey and black, and crops aren't growing and stuff apart from this one spot where they're headed to. The monastery that they're headed to is the only thing that seems to be growing if you look at it from way up here. All the way back here is more the point. Yeah, so I'll use that as like a reminder with like what they're really facing. They just think it's like a couple of farms in Lakeside, but they haven't really, it hasn't really occurred to them how bad the problem is. And maybe that's on me. So I will reveal how bad the problem is with painting that little word picture about, you know, the death everywhere. And then maybe it'll start dawning on them that things are actually quite serious and the world seems to be dying. Yeah. Because that's the picture I'm trying to paint. The world is literally dying. And I don't think anybody's picked up on that at all. Because I asked my fans, like, what do you see as the big threats against the characters right now? And they were like, oh, well, you know, we know that the gods are gone, but we don't know why. There's some dragons in the world now. And there's something weird going on with the ground. And I thought Lakeside was like, Lakeside Hospital was dangerous, but it turns out it's not, like, they're not the bad guys or something. Yeah, which is true, right? So, like, yeah. Yeah. It's weird. I'm trying to run a game where, like, people are just selfish and foolish and not inherently evil. But maybe that's my problem. It's not coming across very like clear who the bad guy is and what they should do. There is definitely evil and definitely things to fight and things to, you know, win against. But it's not always clear what it is at the moment for them. And I think that's relative because they don't have enough information. Anyway. Okay, moving back to what I'm supposed to be talking about. What was I talking about? Favorite published adventure. Okay, well, mine's not even published, so I don't know what I'm doing talking about that. So I guess Wrath of the Righteous or Icewind Dale. Both are good. One I've actually run and I know about it from a GM perspective, and the other one I know about from a player perspective. Both are awesome. Okay, moving on. We'll still play in 20 years' time. 5e. Simple. Done. Favorite licensed RPG? I mean, probably Tales from Equestria, but it is worth giving an honorable mention to the Nerds RPG that they published. You know, those little adventures, which I know I still haven't finished. Look, I've got a lot of things going on right now, and Joey's really busy and he doesn't want to play with me. Because we need to do one more one-on-one, I think. I think it's one more one-on-one before I can arrange to get, like, several people to play several of the Nerds and finish this adventure path off. By the time I finish it, I'm going to need to, like, republish them in order or something so you can hear them all be played through. This is ridiculous. It's taking way too long. Luckily, I still have them all the adventures and stuff. Yeah, I'm really enjoying that story too. The color has been sucked from the world and how will they restore it? Yay! And the nerds are the heroes. I haven't read ahead, so I genuinely don't know what happens. Which is kind of fun for me as a GM. I've been reading the modules like one ahead, so I don't know what happens at the end. That's very bad. Very bad DMing, but you know, I'm just kind of sick of knowing. All the time. I always know. I always know what's going on. Sometimes I don't want to know what's going on. And I think that's because I miss being a player. So, you know, maybe I should go back to doing that at some point. That would be cool. Okay. Which one did I not? Funniest game you've played. I still can't answer that. I feel like Joey and I came up with a really good answer the other day, and now I genuinely cannot think what it is. No. I mean, a lot of the games that I've played that like are designed not to take themselves too seriously, you know, like I don't know, Monster Hearts, you can't take that very seriously. Oh my God. Joey, if you remember what it is, can you just call in? Because I feel like there was a whole system that we talked about where I was like, it's not supposed to be played seriously. It's supposed to be played quite lighthearted and fun. Soaring Lions! There it is. I got it. I got it. Soaring Lions. It's that RPG wrestling game that is so amazing. And I couldn't stop giggling the whole way through at everybody else's like wrestling personas and the fact that one of the whole mechanics of the game is smack talk to the other players that gives you points or doesn't give you points depending on how bad or good your smack talk is before the actual wrestling match and stuff. So you can go into the wrestling match with more points if you like get more of the audience on your side for how good your insults to the other person were. That's very fun. That is a very fun game. If you have not played Soaring Lions, go buy it, go play it. Very cool. I have a link somewhere on my YouTube to like the Soaring Lions game that we played. So yeah, so you can even watch a game in action. Yeah, very, very, very good. I believe it's also on Diceratops's multitudes of different things that we've got on there. Diceratops is playing a really cool one at the moment where they're doing Dungeon Leap, which is kind of like a what do they call it? A loving homage, not a ripoff of Quantum Leap, where you know this guy called Leap keeps sort of appearing in different people's like bodies and having different problems to solve, different missions to go on with like new people he's never met and situations that he does not understand. Like the first episode was really cool because he leapt in and there's all these items on a bed and he's looking at them and then somebody knocks on the door and tells him it's time. And then you're like, yeah, you would be, right? You'd be like, what? What is happening? And so he walks out and he doesn't take any of the items with him. And luckily the DM covers for that because the DM's like, later on is like, and here's all the things on the bed that you wanted. And he's like, oh, okay, shit. Should have probably taken them with me. You know, like, it's a very good concept. If you like the sound of that, please go over and listen to Diceratops. You can also hear me. I'm not going to spoil where I am, but I feature in a tiny little piece of this one because I wanted to play so badly, but I'm so busy at the moment. I just couldn't play. So you can still hear me as part of the podcast, which is very cool. And thanks a lot, Morg, for letting me do that. That was very fun. Okay. All right. I think that is everything. 15 to 21. I did it week three. Thanks for listening. Okay. I think I do have a bunch of call-ins next. So I'm gonna play a bunch of call-ins and then yeah, I know. That suddenly cut off. That's because I got interrupted. Somebody started banging on the window and then I forgot what I was doing, and then I couldn't remember the names of the people that had called in because they just flooded straight out of my brain. And then I kind of spent the weekend forgetting that I'd even started this whole exercise. So here I am, back again, trying to finish it, not letting the sick win, because you're going to hear call-ins from Anthony from Casting Shadows, just saying hi and thanks for being back on the mic. And you know what? Who wouldn't? It's a very positive environment to be in. I'm glad I'm back. Joe from Hindsight Liz, just, you know, we're talking stuff, welcoming me back, and we talk about Franco versus Marco incident that we had recently. Spencer, keep off the borderlands. Yeah, good to see you too on the mic, man. We chatted over Discord, but you know, you give where you can, and I can listen, but not necessarily say hi all the time. So I you know, I appreciate when people can actually reach out and say hi. It's kind of awesome. And Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast, where he's been wailing, you know, the Patreon woes of recent. But honestly, dude, I think my Patreon woes are more like, why am I paying for this chick? Because my payment failed to this chick, and then maybe I'll just leave it as failed. Which, you know what? Fair enough. I have not put out enough episodes to kind of feel like I should have Patreon. So if anybody else wants to leave, you're more than welcome. But yeah, you can hear these four awesome dudes send some messages before I get out of here. Okay, let them talk. Bye. See you in a minute.
Hey, Jules. This is Anthony calling from the Casting Shadows blog and RPG A Day. I'm in a car rolling down the highway with a bunch of panting dogs, so forgive the audio. But the universe is alternating between trying to drown us and trying to melt us, and we are resisting valiantly. And your week one of RPG A Day posts helped us sail through some of that inclement weather with a smile on our faces. And I'm glad to hear that the event is positive for you too and could inspire you to get back into recording. So I'm looking forward to a second installment, and hopefully it comes before the next big typhoon strikes. Anyway, take care.
Kia ora, Jules. Spencer here. I just tried to send you a voice message via the platform formerly known as Anchor, and I don't know what happened to the message. It just completely disappeared. So I thought, why not leave one here? Great to hear you back on the mic. Really cool that you're finding the time to involve yourself in RPG A Day Month, especially with all the stuff you're dealing with at the moment. So sorry to hear that you're having a rough time of it, and well, I hope things start looking up sooner rather than later. All the best with things going forward, and really looking forward to the next episode. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Jules, I am so stoked you decided to take part in RPG A Day. I didn't know if you would. I meant to ask you, but it kept slipping my mind. So thank you. Thank you for putting out that episode. That was amazing. And yeah, if you want to talk more about that game Maze, I would love to hear more about it. Like, who made it? What's it like? And more about what other games you got at Free RPG Day. So if that's something you feel like doing, I'm totally here for that. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to play a little Tales of Equestria with you, both, you know, with the online game and other times. And that game, it kind of rules. It's kind of super awesome and a ton of fun and a great choice. Tales of Equestria, awesome stuff. Anyway, I can't wait for next week to hear your next seven entries. Have a good one. Take it easy. Peace out.
Hey, Jilly, it's Jules from NZ. I was just listening to your latest episode and really felt the need to call you and say that Franco is, and Sunky, both are characters that stayed with me so long that they both appear basically in my Guests of Saltmarsh campaign. So the bartender that works with Hannah at the Snapping Line is this lazy kind of, you know, good for nothing that just sort of sits around and drinks all the time, but also does come in clutch when Hannah needs it, and can cover the bar and get things going, you know. The players haven't interacted with that PC that much, but I, like NPC, but I know he's there. And also there is a shop in town in Saltmarsh called Frank's Fancy Feathers, which a very flamboyant and excited to dress them in proper clothing tailor is, who obviously owns the store, and that was a load of fun for me to play out. Just remembering Franco and that episode where they dressed themselves for the ball. I believe that's one of the episodes right before Cute Girl Bop, which is also my favorite episode of Wheel of Woe, still to this day. So there you go. The legacy of Wheel of Woe lives on in my NPC's insult mush. Okay, bye!
Hey Jules, Jason here. Really enjoyed your week two of RPG a Day. Dice Jail is something I don't have, but I probably really need, because I roll pretty horribly. As far as the gems thing, I know it might not have been intentional, because my credit card company decided that, or my bank, I guess, decided that Patreon is, you know, fraud and wouldn't process my payment this month. So all my Patreons dropped off because my credit card won't pay them now. So I've got to figure that out. So other people may be in that situation too. Just heads up, but it doesn't mean that we're not out here rooting for you. So take care of yourself, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, dudes. I really appreciate you reaching out. It's been, you know, a time, but it's getting better. We're on the home stretch. This weekend is Yes And Charity Stream, and if we can just get over the line on this stuff, then we'll be crushing it. So, I'm going to get out of here and go to work, which sucks. Wish I could stay here with you all, but I can't. So, gotta go do the thing that gets me money to help me do the other things that I enjoy. So, e noho ra, ka kite ano, aroha nui, goodbye. I will see you again soon, and thanks very much. And, you know, to my gems out there, Jason, Barry, Liren, Ezekiel, Violet, Joey, Samsara, Carl, and BJ. Iroho nui. Love you very much. Okay. Bye.